one of my favorite birthday restaurants back in Fort Wayne, where I grew up, is a Japanese steakhouse called Takaoka. You know, the type where they cook in front of you. It's kind of a dazzling little entertainment show. The food was always great, but I loved the birthday celebration at the end because they'd bring you this little dish of sherbet. It had a piece of pineapple, a little umbrella, and a sparkler. And they would play this song. It sounded like it was on a record player from the kitchen because it kind of had this scratch to it. But it was in Japanese, so I'm not going to be impolitically correct and try and go with it. But then at the very end of the song, it always said, "And happy birthday to you," and all. I loved it, and you'd hear it like 7 or 8 times while you're there because everyone was there for their birthday. It's just one of my favorite birthday memories. And I always thought, though, why do restaurants like this come up with their own birthday songs? I mean, there's a pretty traditional one we all know. Why don't we just sing it? But have you noticed lots of restaurants come up with their own little birthday ditties? And that's because Happy Birthday has been copyrighted. I read about this week. Patty and Mildred Hill from Kentucky, kindergarten teachers, published the tune in 1893. Actually, originally it was called Good Morning to All. It was a little cheery song to get their students excited for the school day. But early in the 20th century, someone took the melody and turned it into Happy Birthday. And ever since then, the copyright holders, Warner and Chapel Music, have raked in royalties every time the song is sung on TV, in movies, in stores, or in restaurants. So to avoid the tolls, a lot of restaurants made up their own songs. But last fall, a judge ruled that the copyright filing was invalidated and Happy Birthday is now belonging to everyone. We can sing it without penalty. It belongs to the world. It's public now. So we can sing Happy Birthday to the song Happy Birthday because it's been born. And free public birthday singing is important today on Pentecost as we celebrate the third biggest celebration in the Christian year. Did you guys have Pentecost present openings this morning? Do your Pentecost Hallmark cards? This is the birthday of the church, so we're having a birthday party of sorts. I love birthday parties. Balloons, refreshments. I don't love hosting 12 kids at Chuck E. Cheese, but that's another tale to be told. But I do like the festivity, the noise, the excitement of Pentecost, and it reminds me of a birthday party. When you think about the other two big holidays, Christmas and Easter, although emotionally intense, they are somewhat quiet and serene. You know, a silent night in the manger, right? Or a walk in the garden to the tomb at daybreak. Just a few people are there. There's silence in the mystery of all of it. But not at Pentecost. I mean, the Spirit of God bursting on the scene like a freight train. There's noise, there's surprise, there's chaos. There's not candles to blow out, but there's tongues of fire. There's not singing, but there are lots of people proclaiming in different languages. It feels like a party. And although we celebrate today, there's also another side to Pentecost, and that's the dangerous side. How many of you like to have a little danger at your birthday party? No? A little bit of fear and trembling? We got at least one back here, a little bit of danger. Today we're celebrating a birthday with danger. Let me explain. Revisit the scene. Jesus' followers are hunkered away in the upper room, isolated. They're already scared. Why? Well, they're threatened by Roman authorities, Jewish leaders. They're fearing the outside world, outside culture. They're trying to stay secluded and quiet. Now, had they known what was going to happen, they may have been more willing to be dispersed and out in the world than in this room, because what's about to happen in the room is frightening in itself. Not only the wind and the fire and the languages, but what God is going to ask them to do. The initiative, the calling is going to scare them. Before the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus' followers are just a ragtag band. They've experienced him. They've seen him rise from the dead, ascend into heaven. Now they're waiting, feels like forever, for him to do something, for him to return. Certainly they've thought to themselves, maybe we should just go home. Back to our fishing boats, our fields. Tell our families about this journey. Wow, 3 years of adventures with the prophet. A miracle story, a healing story, until they just got sick of hearing about it. That is a good option. I see them kind of like high school seniors. All right, they've come. It's the end of a time together. You know, let's get together. Sign everybody's yearbook. You know, celebrate. Remember the past 4 years. Give each other hugs. Oh, we'll remember this always. Let's get together sometime over the summer. But then they just kind of fade apart, fade away. That could have been what happened to the good news had it not been for the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it could have just been a quirky tale that made a difference for a select few, you know? It could have been a private experience, a miracle moment copyrighted just for inside use. That's it. And sometimes we think of faith that way, intensely personal, private. Maybe we talk about our faith with God like we kind of talk about our marriage. You know, we don't want to brag about it, nor do we really want to air our dirty laundry. It's just, you know, I'll work on it my way with my spouse. Don't, you know, no one else needs to get into it. Don't we want to think of our faith as so personally private? I see this play out when my faith is struggling a bit or feeling weakened. The first things that I turn to, oh, I need more me time in prayer or personal time in the Word. I need to work on it just between me and God. That's my first response. Why don't I think I need to work this out with a group studying the Bible together? I need to work this out serving on a trip, a mission trip with some folks. Or I need to get out in the world and talk about my faith with some other people who are doubting and questioning. But no, I tend to just lean on, I'll take care of it myself quietly. What's the big deal with keeping faith so quiet? Fear, of course. Fear of being disapproved of, ridiculed, maybe even persecuted. People who have power over us, bosses, people in our family. Spouses. We don't want to debate and rupture a relationship, right? We don't want to ruin a relationship we have, so we stay quiet. We don't want to lose our job, an opportunity. Maybe we stay quiet because we feel insufficient in speaking out. We're not qualified. We got enough dirty baggage on our own, messed up emotions. We're walking our own path of suffering. It would be hypocritical. It would be inadequate to talk about a walk with God, because I don't have my stuff together. And maybe once I work on my internal stuff, then I can kind of speak out about what I believe. But, you know, when are we ever fixed enough? Maybe sometimes we stay quiet because of a lack of compassion. I'm not trying to say that we don't care about people who are broken and hurting. Maybe they're just outside our sphere of influence. You know, the world's a big place. There's a lot of hurt out there. But what can I do? I mean, the world's been messed up a long time. I've got my own family, my own children, my own bills to worry about. I need to pray for strength in my own personal situation. That's kind of my focus. So we stay quiet when it comes to faith in the larger world. I don't know. I guess I stay quiet sometimes because private faith just seems safe. It seems comfortable. It's on your own terms. It won't threaten, right? It won't offend. It's just kind of easy. And I like to dial up an order for a very quiet, personal, private Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit, come on me like a refreshing glass of water to a parched throat. Come to me, Holy Spirit, like wind blowing off dust in my life. Come, Holy Spirit, like a comforting parent to assure me. Come, Holy Spirit, and take my hand as if I'm a struggling child. I mean, there's nothing wrong with these images of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit does come as a dove of peace, after all. But then I was reading this week about this Lutheran church, and they were given a gift of some pyramids, like these, that's what we call these, kind of for their front of their church. And they were going through these hand-me-downs, and they came to the Pentecost ones, the red ones, like these. And they looked on there, and they saw that it had a dove. But in this particular pyramid they were given, the dove had these crazed eyes and claws like talons. So it was more like the Holy Spirit coming as a raptor. And one of the men going through it said, we can't use these. I mean, this makes the Holy Spirit look dangerous. And the pastor said, put them up. Because that is the Holy Spirit. Dangerous at work in our life. The disciples experienced this overwhelming experience of the Holy Spirit, and they changed from disciples, learners, to apostles, leaders, and teachers. They are not private learners anymore. They are public proclaimers. The story is now belonging to the world after Pentecost. It's entered the public domain. The babble of all these nonsensical languages suddenly makes sense. People comprehend, they submit, they confess, and lives are changed. People from every nation under heaven begin to realize God's power. We try to box up the Spirit, but we cannot exchange the fire of the Holy Spirit for the ice of safe spirituality. The Holy Spirit comes like a brush fire to burn away the undergrowth so something new can grow. The Holy Spirit comes like a renovator who wants to knock down walls that are threatening what God is trying to build. The Holy Spirit comes like a drill sergeant saying, get your stuff in gear, align with your brothers and sisters to do your duty. The Holy Spirit comes like an escort taking us safe passage from this private spiritual experience to a public witness. This whole message I've been saying, the Spirit's like this, the Spirit's like that. In the end, the Spirit is not a metaphor. I mean, the Spirit is alive. The Spirit is a force. The Spirit will mess you up. The Spirit will mess you up. That's what we're celebrating today in Pentecost. The work of the Holy Spirit on God's people to let us loose to witness to the good news, to combat sin in whatever form it takes itself, to proclaim Jesus victor. We aren't meant to hum our praise songs under our voice. We are to echo off sound off of buildings large and small. As Emil Brunner once said, the church exists for mission like a fire exists for burning. The Holy Spirit wants to do something dangerous today. So that's my takeaway from the Pentecost party. Faith is loud. Not necessarily obnoxious, but it's loud. Like a great symphony. Or maybe a rock concert. That's art, and it's loud. It's noticeable. It's evident. Jesus says it produces fruit. And so can faith. In what way could our faith be louder today? And faith is not only loud for its own sake, it's loud in new places for new people. God's intention is not to keep the faith in the family. We're celebrating God's birthday movement by opening doors. Salvation for the world, the party of faith, the joy of faith for the world. So where is the Spirit sending us? Across what wall? And what language is it that we need to be learning today? Because the Spirit equips us with the language. The disciples didn't say, give me the gift of speaking Persian. I mean, the Spirit just gave it because the Spirit knew they needed it. The Spirit will equip us with whatever tools we need as long as we're willing to speak. 15, 20 years ago, I would have never imagined the Spirit would have this fool standing up here. I'm honest. Public speaking for a very long time was just dreadfully frightening. But the Spirit equips, you might say in various other ways, but the Spirit equips. Whatever we need, God will provide for the mission to be successful. And if God can do that for me, it can do that for you. He overcomes fears. He removes prejudices. He softens hearts. God has placed us with an opportunity today to witness to his party, to his power, to his party. Today you've got some, I was hoping they'd be noisemakers, Janae. They don't make a whole lot of noise. I hope we as Christian followers make a bit more noise today. But believe knowing that God still crashes parties, still comes into our presence, this radical, dangerous, mysterious Spirit, to form us to serve and sing and witness the good news. So like we did with the kids, will you join me in a singing of happy birthday to the church today? One more time. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the church. Happy birthday to you. All right, you guys sound beautiful. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, may we take these party favors out into the world and make a scene of sorts. Boy, I wish, you know, Lord, I wish that we would do something that is so out there that the crowd around us would be, wow, Sellersburg Church, they must be on some new wine or something. Because of what they're talking about, what they're doing is so unreal, so mysterious, so powerful. Lord, be present in our witness today. Help us to make that move from being so private and public, private in our faith, guarded, quiet. Help us to find a way to make some noise for the sake of Jesus Christ. Strengthen our witness together. Unify us as we make disciples in your name. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.